chance to catch up with Arianna Gillis at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. It's now Saturday. We've been here for a couple of days, and it's one of those things where you almost feel like that time stops when you step into this other dimension that's all about music. It's great to be able to talk to you today, Arianna.
Thank you. Great to talk to you, too.
You've been very busy in the last couple of days, and I thought I'd give you a chance just to talk a little about being at the conference and how important it is for you to attend something like this, and then also your role as a mentor for some of the young musicians that we have coming through.
Totally. This is, I think, my 7th or 8th conference. So I used to be called OCFF. I was actually in the youth program when I was 15, and that was how I kind of got introduced to all of this. My dad used to bring me along because he went actually when I was 13. So yeah, I've been doing this for a while. So it's kind of cool that they asked me to be a mentor this year for a girl named Emma Phillips. And she's a great musician. It was really fun playing with her. It's really great to come here all the time, not even just to play music anymore and showcase anymore, because for me, it doesn't matter because I know everybody now. So it's just a great hang. And it's just so cool to see all my friends and jam with them and play music. That's basically what I come for anyway.
It's extraordinary because you're what, only 21, 22, and you're already a veteran in this field. But talk a little bit about how you got into music and why you decided you wanted to make it your career.
Well, I grew up with music in my life. So my dad was always playing guitar, and my family, actually, on both sides, they're both very musical. I was taking singing lessons from age 6 to 12, maybe a little bit longer than that. I was classically trained, and then I picked up guitar, and then that's kind of when I wanted to explore my own voice and explore my originality and be a little bit more creative with everything. And I don't think I really realized that music was exactly what I wanted to do until I was in my teens, and I had pneumonia, and it was in both lungs, and it was pretty serious. It was for 3 months I was sick, really sick, and I think it kind of changed my perspective on life. I think that's maybe how I write deep songs in a way, because I've experienced that, you know, near death type thing, and just where, you know, you're gasping and you don't really know what the future will hold. And after I got better, I had lost my voice for a little while, and it was just devastating to me, and I realized how big of a role music played in my life. And then I just kept practicing and getting as good as I could possibly get, and writing more and training my voice again, and it came back, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
It's interesting you describe it as deep songs, because one of the things that is immediately obvious when you listen to you in concert, and we had a chance to see you at Hillside this past summer, and obviously being involved in the showcases at the conference as well, is that there seems an incredible personal side to it, but also very provocative, raising issues about, you know, some of the some of the challenges of life, but also injustice as well. Can you talk about your writing style, about how you get started? Like, you know, is it very much coming up with the lyrics first and then putting the music to them? Or how do you tend to work?
It's everything at the same time, I find. I can't even really write a song if I want to. That's how I explain it. I have to have that burst of inspiration, and it just comes, and if it hits me and I'm lucky enough to catch on to it, then I'll write something. But when I try and force anything out, it never feels real to me. It's not personal anymore. It's not coming from a personal place, because I'm trying to come up with something, you know, intelligent. I don't think you can try to come up with something intelligent. I think when you go and you dig deep and you're just spilling your guts out, that's where the good stuff is. And it's really hard to get into a place like that. It's you're naked, basically, right? And it's hard even to perform those types of things, because you're just bearing your soul to everybody. But that's how you can find meaning and inspiration and write good material, that at least it has something to say and it's coming from the heart.
Neil Young always talks about his songs coming from somewhere else, yeah, completely. I mean, it just kind of, it's almost
like it flows through.
Well, he almost talks about the fact it's almost like he gets taken over when he creates a song. Is it the same thing for you, that you're just suddenly in the right place And then everything starts to flow?
Yeah, that's exactly how I would describe it. It's even when I'm writing the lyrics, I'm thinking, what the hell? How am I coming up with this stuff? This doesn't make any sense. I couldn't do this stuff if I wanted to, right? And it's just spilling out of my mouth, and I just let it go. And then I have a song, and it's really cool, and it's amazing. And I wake up the next morning, and I usually record my songs, and because I need to keep that essence alive, that first, you know, song and how it first came out. And I listen to it, and I go, cool. Like, and then maybe I'll go back and fix things that, you know, are a little weird, some lines or something, just to make sure that it flows and it's fluid. But usually it's just, it's all at once, and it just hits me, and it's out, it's done.
Do you record at home, or do you go to a studio when you're actually, creating like this?
Yeah. Well, for an album, or even for demos, we usually do bed tracks at a studio. We've been to Canterbury Studio in Toronto a lot, and then we go back home. We do overdubs and vocals and everything at our home studio because we have some pretty good equipment there. And my dad engineers it and produces it, and then we'll send it off or do whatever we need to do with it. So.
Yeah, your dad is David Gillis, a very yes. talented musician in his own right. Can you talk about his influence on your music? I mean, you know, I think just the fact of having such a that support throughout your life obviously kind of informs where we are now, that you're a veteran of the folk scene in Ontario at the age of 22. It must have been a huge support for you growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had so much support from everybody, even here at this conference. It's amazing, actually, when I think about it, it's great. But my dad obviously has been my biggest supporter since I was, you know, really young, and he encouraged me to get into music. And the sad thing is, to me, is that a lot of people think that he is some stage dad or something, or that he, you know what I mean? Like they're afraid to get involved. They're afraid to do these things with us because in their experience, they've never met someone quite like him. And it's amazing because there was even some guy we were talking to, an industry guy, and he was saying, you know, I don't want anything to do with her if her dad's involved. And it's so funny because I call my dad up and he's like, Arianna, I don't want to hold you back. If that's what's going to happen, I'm going to step back and you can do whatever the hell you want. You know, it's your life. You live it. You do whatever you want. It's amazing to me. And it makes me almost want to cry because he's put so much into me and he's helped shape me as a songwriter and as a person. And he's such a big part of my life and such an influence that I don't think I'd ever want him to not even be in the picture. Like when I see all these offers and these other producers coming up to me, I'm like, well, how can you spend as much time and dedicate that much of your life to my music as my dad can? You can't. He's just been there for me all the time, you know? So it's a beautiful thing, and I love him for it. And yeah, the support is just breathtaking. It's amazing.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because when I've seen you at a few shows, but I got to admit, the first time I saw you, I mean, I thought you played with your brother. I didn't right. think it was your father.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting you talk about it because obviously with your age and with the talent you have, it must be very tempting for producers to look at you and think, yeah, well, I could mold you this way, mm-hmm. mold you that way. And you can almost see like a Shania Twain situation
right.
developing. You know, that somebody will almost have this Svengali effect
right.
On your music. At the same time, my sense is that you're so talented. And, you know, if people listening to this broadcast, if you're not actually seen Arianna Gillis in concert, you really need to. Because the power that you have and those personal stories and those songs that aren't necessarily personal, but also bring up that deep connection, really need to be appreciated. Mm-hmm. What does the future bring for you? Where do you see your music going?
There's a lot of different things. Actually, I'm kind of, even right now, I'm kind of at a crossroads in my career, and I have a choice to go in two different directions. And I'm making a lot of decisions right now that are going to affect me in the future with my career. I guess I can't really say exactly where my music will take me because I honestly have no idea. I know that I'm going to continue to write and I'm going to continue to play and because I love it, and it's all I've really known how what to do and how to, you know, live my life and express my emotions. If it gets me to a place where I can make a good living off of it, then that's amazing, and I'm happy, then that's even better. I think that's all that actually really matters when I really do think about it, is that I have to be happy, because, you know, the material things actually, in the end, they don't last anyway, so.
At the age of 22, yeah, with the years that you've got in, how can you make a living at this point, or do you find, I mean, you know, do you have the benefit with the support you have at home? Is that how you manage things? Because a lot of independent, yeah, musicians have to try and work out, you know, do I need to have a day job to support everything I do, or can I keep doing this full time?
Yeah, I do live at home still, so that's great, and my dad has put a considerable amount of investment into my career, money-wise. I also apply for grants too, which is amazing, the support from the Canadian government, so that's awesome. But yeah, if I was living on my own, I would probably have to get another job, but maybe not though at this point. I can, like, my career is getting to the point now where it's starting to pay itself back, which is amazing, because I can see where it's headed, and that means that I should be financially stable.
And what about recordings? Can you talk about where you're at just now, what your future plans are?
As for recording, we're actually going to the studio in November to do the next album. So that's Factor funded, which is amazing and so awesome. And that probably won't be released till the spring. We do have a deadline, so we have to get on that. But I'm really excited about releasing the new album. I have over 60 songs so that I have to pick from, so it's kind of we're kind of just figuring out what to add. But I think what we're going to end up doing is doing the same thing actually that Bruce Springsteen did, and just recording like maybe 15 to 20 songs and then picking the ones that we feel, you know, flow well together and have the, you know, the best production and sound, and putting those on the album. Because sometimes, you know, you have a song and it just doesn't work. You go into the studio and you want it to work so bad, and you just have to throw it away and maybe come back to it, you know, years later. So it's always good to, I think, have a few extra. And sometimes the song that you thought was going to go nowhere turns out to be the one that created the most magic.
Yeah, actually, I like that as well. I mean, I'd rather that people did record, you know, 15, yeah, 20 songs, put maybe 10, 12 on an album, hold the others back, yeah, and maybe they muse them later, or maybe they end up, you know, if you get to Bruce's status, that they, you know, they come out on a revisioning of an album down the road.
Exactly, yeah, totally.
Can you talk about your current album, just for people who want to get hooked into Ariana Gillis just now?
So my current album, the one that's out, is Forget Me Not. That was 2011. I would say it's very eclectic. It's a little bit more edgy than the first album, because the first album, I mean, like, I've grown up in a predominantly folk environment, so I was a lot more folky before, I would say, like, just more acoustic, even not even folky. But Forget Me Not is a little bit more aggressive, I would say, a little bit more poetic, even maybe. Lots of storytelling. There's a song, John and the Monster, that's on it, that that's really important to me, that I feel is a very powerful, and it was a great production, and it turned out really well. I was happy with it. And the whole theme of the album basically was to take these songs and make sure that we got the story across all the time, and that we didn't fill it up with too much music and too much production, that it was sparse, yet it supported everything. And I think that's very important. You need that space and you need that breath in the song and in the music to make sure that people still understand where you're coming from, as even just a solo artist with just you and your guitar, like the same thing that I wrote that one night, you know, and recorded in the same essence. So that's what that album's really about.
I didn't ask you this before, but I feel like I should have done. Who are your main influences? I mean, obviously we're at this conference, but yeah, generally when you think about your music.
I would say Patti Griffin was my biggest influence when I was growing up. She was amazing. I listened to her
album. She has a great new album.
Yeah, she's She's killer. I just saw her actually at Colorado Festival. It was just insane. It was so great. And then Bob Dylan, Tom Waits is so cool. I have a lot of different, I love songwriters like Josh Ritter and Connor Oberst from Bright Eyes. I love like people who like tell a novel almost in a song.
Well, they're two of my favorites as well.
Yeah, it's just wicked. It's amazing to me. And you can fit so much in just a 3-minute or 5-minute song, and it has a beginning, middle, and end, and it just takes you on this journey. It's just so cool.
Well, you know, that's one of the things I think about your music, because I think that you actually are also able to achieve that, because mm-hmm. your songs take you on that journey. Ariana, it's been great pleasure talking to you today. Couple of things before we get done, though. Mm-hmm. If people want to follow you online, how should they do that?
They can follow me on Twitter. They can follow me on Instagram. It's Facebook as well. It's all Ariana Gillis. So.
And your website?
www.arianagillis.com.
Okay, we got one more thing to do. What I would like you to do is introduce the next song. So I'm going to let you pick something off Forget Me Not.
Okay. This is Dream Street. And I wrote this song when I was, I got home from a gig. It was really, really late at night. It was like 3 a.m. And I went into bed and it was freezing cold and I was ready to fall asleep. I was exhausted. And all of a sudden this song popped in my head, this feeling of inspiration. I started singing it and I said, shit, I gotta wake up and I gotta write this song. So here it is.
That's great. Wonderful interview with Ariana. Thanks for spending the time to talk to us today. Ariana Gillis and Dream Street from the album Forget Me Not on Folk Roots Radio, CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. Mm-hmm.